Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. Perhaps the most well-known saying of Dogen, who was the founder of the Soto Zen sect in Japan, in one of his talks, he said, "To study the Buddha is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by all beings." Every serious Zen student around the world is familiar with this quote. Of course, in this case, when Dogen says study the Buddha, or study Buddhism, or study yourself, he doesn't mean intellectual study. He means zazen. You study yourself through zazen. You study Buddhism. You study the teachings through zazen, not through the workings of your mind. And this is the foundation of our practice and of all spiritual practice. It is also the process of realization. It's also the process of enlightenment and wisdom. Study the Buddha, study yourself without using your intellect. Just zazen. So this is the fundamental teaching. His saying refers to a fundamental teaching of Buddhism, that is, there is no such thing as an individual self, no separate self. This is part of the scriptures. And as Buddha said 2,000 some years ago, it's an illusion, or a delusion, a misunderstanding to see ourselves as a separate, unique individual. The teaching is, and the wisdom is, that all beings and all things exist together without separation. That's the reality. The appearance of everyday life and what we think is reality because of the appearances is that we are all separated, individual, and not connected in any way. But the wisdom and the truth is that we should realize the reality that there is just one whole being. You shouldn't even say one. There is just one. There is just an infinite being. We express it in our everyday life as unique selves, but that's just temporary. So as we continue our Zazen practice over the weeks and months and years, we slowly come to this realization. But at the same time that we continue our Zazen practice and awaken our wisdom in that way, we should study and explore ourselves in the more direct way, in the way that we are familiar with, in the way that we are familiar with in our everyday life. And that is, we need to continually question ourselves and ask ourselves such things as, How is my mind doing? Do I see things clearly? Do I decide things clearly with clarity? Or maybe I add bias. How's my mind doing? Do I keep an open mind? These are the kinds of questions we should continually ask ourselves. And it may seem a simple thing to do, but we easily get lost. We human beings easily get lost in the workings of our mind. So we have this practice because we human beings create problems because we do not pay attention to ourselves. We ignore ourselves. Instead, we focus on ideas about ourselves. So instead of saying, how am I doing? How's my mind doing? Instead, we say, how do people perceive me? How do I appear to other people? Studying the self can only be done in this moment, the current moment. In other words, our mind must be in the present moment if it is to know itself, in order to keep itself clear. The most important thing in our life is to have a clear, undistracted, active mind, totally engaged. And of course, it's necessary to have good memory, some imagination, so that we can understand the details of the things we do and the ideas we have and the events that come up. We have to understand those details so we can make reasonably good decisions in our life. Good decisions to help resolve problems and improve our life. But sometimes our mind gets, clogged up. Like maybe your kitchen sink sometimes gets clogged up. Our mind gets clogged up because it becomes filled up with traces of thinking. And when that happens, we cannot respond clearly to ideas and to situations. So, as we say in this practice, the mind needs to be empty, which doesn't mean empty of ideas and thoughts. It means ready to let go of attachment to the past. Empty. When we can do that, when we can allow our mind to be empty, then everything can be observed just as it is, without distortion. And if the mind is free from traces of past thinking, it becomes quite calm. And if the mind becomes clear, without ideas, without tainted ideas, without desires, if the mind becomes clear, it can feel very natural and not anxious. So our practice, in a very practical way, our practice is about not confusing the present with either the past or the future. We should allow the present moment to work completely in our daily life. So we should make the past become present and make the future become present. A simple example, let's say you have an appointment, business appointment or dentist appointment, or you're going to meet some friend. Your past experience helps. It will help. You think about the time you've gone to this appointment place before. What route should you take? What route did you take? How was that? How much time did it take? So your past experience will help you. You also think about, in the past, what traffic delays occurred during this time of day. So your past experience is vital. And also considering the future helps when you think about this appointment. What do you do when you arrive at the appointment? What do you say? You prepare. So we don't discard the past, and we don't discard the future. Only we do not cling to them. We do not allow them to overwhelm the present moment. It is after we use the past to help us, and after we use the future consideration to help us, we give them back and we put them to rest. We use the past and we use the future to help us take care of our life with each other. Then the past and the future become alive. And then the present becomes alive. But if we cling to some past time, or we dream of some future time, we will be attached, we will become attached to something unreal. It has no reality. So there's no point in clinging to non-present. No point in clinging to the non-present in order just to be proud or jealous or sad or relive some success that you had. If we cling to the non-present, then the present itself is dead. So our practice emphasizes awareness of the present, the only time we are alive. Our mind needs to be spotless so that all things can be observed just as they are. Observing things just as they are is how we are actualized by all things. So our practice is about keeping the present moment dynamic and alive and not casual. So in this center and in almost all Zen centers, we come to Zazen very early in the morning, every day of the week. There's no sound, no light. And usually there are no cars, no people. And we appreciate the silence and the darkness as we start our day. And as we sit here in Zazen in the early morning, little by little, everything awakens. and we appreciate each new sound. We appreciate the light. We appreciate the bird. We can do so because we have had no ideas of the past or the present. We are just sitting quietly in Zazen without thinking. We are keeping the present alive. And we are continuously letting go of the past and the future. So, as you know, we a simple fundamental technique that we have is to stay aware of our breath. Just stay aware of our breath, nothing else. Keep our mind on our in-breath and our out-breath. How's my breath doing? In that way, the present and the past and the future become one. There's no separate past or future when our mind is simply following the breath. Our inhale and our exhale must be immediate. They must be now. You cannot inhale later. You cannot exhale, you know, 20 minutes ago. Inhale and exhale are now. It's their nature. So by being aware of our breath, we learn the meaning of now. When we take our in-breath without hesitation, we and the world are active. And when our out-breath is natural at the right time, we and the world are ready for the next moment. So our practice is about no holding in and no holding out. So the simple practice of being aware in our breath has a great deal of meaning for us. When we breathe, we cannot hold in. We cannot hold out. After the in-breath, we let it go. After the out-breath, we bring in again. We must give up what we have finished. You finish the in-breath, and you give up breathing in. You turn to the next activity. We must give up what we have finished, and this includes our breathing, and it includes our thoughts. When we do not hold on, we can be of use to others. And this includes our breath and includes the activity of our mind. So we must have an attitude of letting go. We have to let go. We have to be careful not to cling to something that no longer has life. So Buddha said, all beings attain enlightenment simultaneously. It means there is no separation and no gap. We have to make the present moment alive with full awareness. But if we cling to the past or dream of the future, we will create a gap between ourselves and others. This is how the ego creates problems. If we cling to our past, or we cling to some idea about ourselves, or we are very desirous about some future event, we cannot understand our true self. And we will not have confidence in the present moment. So our true self is continuously unfolding. And this unfolding is dynamic, not a static thing. And it can only unfold in the timeless present. Our true self cannot unfold in the past, or in some time later than now. If we do not unfold continuously with everyone, there will be a gap. And that gap is what promotes ego and creates confusion. So, primary Buddhist teaching is that we, each of us, every one of us, is already Buddha. Already Buddha. And that sounds good. Sounds encouraging. And we want to accept that. But we can't fully understand it intellectually. We must practice it. We must practice being Buddha. We cannot understand this concept intellectually, or we will misunderstand who we are. So we understand this truth by not trying to understand it intellectually. We understand who we are simply by sitting in zazen, setting aside all ideas and all the activity of the mind. If we are stuck in the past or very, very concerned for the future, if we long for the future, it means we are a bit desperate, you know. Present isn't good enough for us. Cling to the past, always reaching out to the future in desperation. We are desperate to find some image of ourself or to define who we are. The human ego does not like an unclear picture of itself. It does not like this ambiguous unfolding. Too ambiguous, unfolding. The ego desires a fixed, static picture of itself. It likes this fixed picture to cling to and to use as a weapon or some kind of shield in everyday life. If we accept that we are continuously unfolding moment by moment, then there is no ego, and then there is no clinging. So when we understand ourselves according to our true nature, there's no worries. We don't worry about So when we see ourselves according to our true nature, there will be no worries about some image of ourselves. That won't concern us, some image, which is a made-up thing. And we won't worry so much about what other people say or think, because we will have confidence in ourselves. So Zazen, our Zazen practice, is how we come to see ourselves from the standpoint of our true self, which exists only in the dynamic present, not in the dead past or the unreal future. So, our practice is based on the emptiness of all existence, which means there is no permanent or unchanging self or core or seed. So there is nothing inherently personal that we carry along. There is no self to carry from past to future. We can give up the burden of carrying ourself. Carrying around this ego is a burden. So we can give it up, we can let it go, and just unfold moment by moment. We exist completely in the dynamic present. And this is how we can be intimate with everything else. And then everything can move forward with everything. Some people may be dismayed when they first hear the idea that all things are empty before they fully understand the true meaning. But our inherent emptiness allows for changing, for unfolding, and for renewing in the present moment, without concern, without carrying around past or future. Then we can be who we really are. If we get confused about who we are, it means we are not seeing who we really are from the standpoint of the present moment. We are seeing ourselves from the standpoint of the past or the future. When we do that, we will be holding on and trying to create some false image of ourselves. So to practice Zazen like we do completely, we have to be ready to give up the small mind, the small self. We have to allow the body to give up stubborn past habits. We have to allow the mind to give up desperate future cravings, so that we can learn to discover our true self in the midst of emptiness. Does anyone have a question? Yes.
I want to know, how can we like be Zen or like empty, but also like be working, like programming? Is it possible to do both? Or is it like one or the other?
You don't have to choose either or. If your mind is ready to be in the present moment without clinging, then you can do any activity. In other words, we don't trade our everyday life for our spiritual life. We are inherently both. The important point is to express both and not try to choose one or the other. So the answer to your question is yes. Both. Can be a little tricky, and I think maybe you've maybe run up against the how you do it. But if you try and experiment, little by little you'll find your way. You'll find your balance where you're not overwhelmed by your programming or you're not overwhelmed by spiritual cravings. You'll find the balance, but you have to work at it and let the balance show itself to you little by little. Have some patience. Do you have a question? Oh, you did. You did. Okay.
You said a phrase, being competent in the present moment or in the present. So. Does that mean if you indulge in thinking about the past or about the future, you kind of dismiss the present moment as being not important or boring? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and the words indulge is the key point.
Mm.
Indulge. The mind will go to the past to try to remember something and to see if there's some useful experience that can help itself. It may look at the future to see if there's something it should be considering. But the indulging means we're never in the present. We're always here or there, not here. So the indulging is correct. We should watch out for indulgence. Yes?
So I want to follow up on what you just said. I think one of the things that I've sort of experienced is however much you try to battle with your past or battle with your future, you said indulgence, and I think the other word you used was clinging. So I think you can't negate your past, you can't avoid your future, but I think the key is, like indulgence, not to cling to either one of them. So when you're in Zazen, the past does come up. I mean, it just does. But the key, what I find is to just let it go and not grab onto it. And would that be a fair characterization? So that is that what you mean by clinging? Is to not grasp onto it and not...
Yes.
And that's the hard part.
Not clinging. Okay.
That's the toughest.
Well, that's why you practice.
Yeah. And then that's what you find every day is that as things happen, you're in the moment... But then something will happen that stimulate, oh, well, you're in a meeting, and, oh, maybe I'll get this. And so all of a sudden you're anticipating the future, and you're being driven by that objective, and all of a sudden you're clinging to that, and then you're lost. And is that kind of how we would take that into our daily life, is to not get carried away by that anticipation and that wanting and that, is that the clinging to in everyday life?
If you decide that you don't want to get lost anymore, then you will set your mind to find a way not to lose yourself. And that's why we have this practice. We have to say to ourselves, I'm not going to get lost anymore. And make a determination to change the way the mind operates, to change the way the mind sees things. Yes, Anna.
I have a question about this with our speech. I've been thinking a little bit about the Eightfold Path, and with the past and the future, it's a way that we communicate and understand each other, but it's also a way that we can dwell on the past and in the future. So is that still creating attachments and not right speech to have those conversations? Or is that a way that we make our relationships better and come to understanding?
We should always make an effort to be present with each other, no matter what we talk about. We may spend an hour talking about the past. That's okay, as long as we are present for each other. In this relationship, in this moment, are we present for each other? Are we actualizing each other? We can talk about anything. But being present for each other. This is the point.
I know the best way to phrase this. Lee was throwing out some old paperwork today. And she said to me, why am I holding on to this? And I said, yeah, it's, we never ask ourselves, when we eat food, that I'm going to hold on to this. There's a process that the food goes through, and it goes out of our body. And yet we, as human beings, have a tendency of holding on to the past, and it's a very strange thing. I'm studying about the body these days, so that sort of came into my mind that it's interesting that our food goes out, but our memories and our associations of the past still remain. Our prejudices from the past, our way of treating other people from the past stays the same, but it's like sometimes I think it's just, if we were to look at our body, we would learn something, and it doesn't hold on to things. You know, there's only things that are beneficial to us, yet we hold on to things that are non-beneficial to us. The mind does that. And that's one thing that came up. And the other thing that I was thinking of was the mind is really there to, thinking is there to solve problems. And we use it for as you said, you know, clinging to the past or looking towards the future, and we forget about being here. So it kind of confuses me sometimes that this dichotomy is there in us as human beings.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.